Backseat Box Office, episode number 84 for the weekend of April 27th through the 29th, 2012. Hey, this is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
And we are the Backseat Producers. And this is Backseat Box Office, sans Tony for week two.
Next week, though.
Yeah, and if anyone who follows him knows, he's recently had a loss in his family. And certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to him and the rest of his family and Julie and everybody as they get through this rough time and wish him the best. And whenever he gets back, we'll be excited to have him back. Because honestly, I don't think Jonathan liked doing this much work.
I know, clicking an extra button and then
introing the show? That's hard.
Well, you did that.
I know.
I did the exact same amount of work on the show as I always do.
Which, I do appreciate the show notes you've been churning out for the last, month or two?
It's, once you have a
template,
it makes it easy.
I could have sent you mine, I guess, but I don't think I knew you were doing them for a while.
I actually just copied yours and then dropped it into WordPress.
That's kind of how I did it. I went back when I first started doing the results column on Mondays way back when. I just went into the last guy's WordPress documents and just put in a notepad or WordPad and pasted it there and just changed it week to week. That was my move. Oh, I added color.
Oh. Hey, well, to just steal outright
would be wrong.
But to steal and then improve,
that's the Backseat Producer's way.
That makes it all okay.
Absolutely. So how's your week been?
Not too bad. I've been interviewing for a new position, so with any luck. I've had 3 interviews within a week, so I'm hoping that's a good sign.
Usually if they don't like you, they don't bring you back, because a lot of times large companies have to have a mandatory number of interviews. Mm-hmm. Like, out of your, you have to interview 10 people for this position before you can pick someone, 5 people, however many it is. So if you get one interview, it could be nothing, but you get 3, I think they like you.
Yeah. So it's been interesting. My current, it's with the same company, but it's with a different division in the company. So my current manager is a little bit annoyed. I get the feeling that fairly soon I'm a temp in my current position, but yeah, their goal is to bring all their temps on permanently. So I get the feeling that relatively soon a permanent position will open up for the job I'm currently doing, but it's like, I don't know how long that's going to be. She can't tell me. So when they call me up and are like, well, you applied for this other position, do you want to interview for it? I'm like, well, sure. So it's been one of those things where my manager likes me and doesn't want me to go, but I'm also kind of like, well, yeah, but they're going to pay me a lot more.
That, I had 2 questions for you, and one of them was, does the new job pay more than the old job? So that's apparently a big yes.
Yes.
And then the second question no longer is relevant, because because question one's answer was yes, so question 2 doesn't matter. Well, no, I guess maybe it does. Here's question 2. The work you'd be doing in the new job, will that, both in terms of environment and actual processes, be more or less enjoyable than the work you're doing on a daily basis now?
It's going to be different.
Right.
Like, there was some concern with it because initially I was told, random boring stuff. Let's switch from Axis and Allies to what Jonathan does on a daily basis now. But,
hey, Tony's not here. Let's go with it.
That's true. Half of my day is fulfilling background reports. So I get to look at everybody's, naughty bits and decide whether or not we can tell your future employer what it is you did in your past life. The other half of my day is on the phones helping all of the employers who want to know all about your naughty bits. So, and I don't particularly care for the phone part.
Because you're interacting with other people?
More just because, like, there are people who are pissed that we're not getting through the reports fast enough or this, that, or the other thing. Or have, you know, applicant, like, people who have applied for jobs and we found out that, you know, they were sentenced to prison for murder.
Right.
And aren't happy that we told their potential employer that, you know, they're a convicted murderer. That gets a little rough. But so when I found out that this new position was going to be mostly all phones again, I was going to be like, oh, that's going to kind of suck. But it turns out it's a completely different kind of work on the phones.
Yeah.
Like, it's completely, it turns out to be completely different and thus not anywhere near as annoying as my current phone position is. So I'll be, I think it will be all right. If given, given the choice, like if a permanent position at my current location opened up right now and I found out that it was going to be comparable in say pay and benefits to the other one, I'd probably stay, but I'd probably prefer my current position, but I don't think that's going to happen within the next week. So
if they can't talk to you, then that seems unlikely.
Yeah. So it's one of the things. So,
so that's kind of your personal life. Now I'd rather move on to more of your professional life, your second profession, which is as a, one of the charter members on the Sausage Fest, planning committee. Cause I hear that you've been doing some field experiments.
Oh, that
holy crap. Do you think we could do a Tripumple at Sausage Fest?
Oh.
We need an oven.
We would need an, we would need an oven. I do, you know, have, I do now have the experience, but
yes,
the problem is it's high altitude baking experience.
But we can adjust because you know what? Those sausages went so fast last year. People, because as Tony pointed out, we're the only people with food.
The Tripumple won't last long.
People,
I made it for a group of 90-year-olds, and it didn't last long. All right,
you know we're talking about a group of booze soaked. Let's say 21 to 26 year olds.
Yeah, we need six. Do you know how much work making six Tripumples is going to be?
Think about how much donations we could get for it.
Oh, I don't
and
know
think about the buzz. Think about the buzz about the guys who have the triple pie cake.
We need to try. You know what? We could do that. We could do that, but we need a mandatory suggested donation.
Oh,
I don't know if you
yes.
can use those two words together, but a mandatory suggested donation of at least $20 to get a slice of Tripumple.
A 20.
I think.
Because think about how many slices can you get off that sucker? A lot. If you cut them, if you cut them narrow, which we would.
Here's the problem.
Yeah,
and
they tend to fall apart.
Once you get about halfway through,
collapses.
That bastard falls over, and you're kind of screwed. So it's a fantastic idea, but
because I could work the Tripumple carving station. That could be my baby instead of bar backing this year.
I think if we charge $20 for the good slices and then dropped it down to like 10 for the, you know, collapsed slices, we could probably be all right. But yeah, I have definitely been doing quite a bit of experimenting for con season coming up, at least my con season. So
tell us, tell us about what you've been working on more recently.
Well, I tried drunken gummy bears.
That I hear did not turn out well.
No, the idea is you take gummy bears, you pour them in a bowl, you pour booze on top of them, and like they'll soak up the booze.
I would think they just disintegrate.
Well, that's kind of what happened to me. Like they actually do soak it up a bit. And my experience was that they, you know, they do get the kind of like outer layers get boozy. So you can eat them. You could get a bit of a buzz off of the gummy bears. But my problem was I was trying to do, and I'm willing to admit that this may work in a large batch, but I was only willing to commit,
limited resources. For a trial run.
Yeah, and the limited resources just didn't work. I tried it twice, and they just, they soaked up a bit, but they also got goopy and kind of nasty, and they left like this whole, this little layer. Like the second batch I did was, I thought, well, the first one I did was in a glass, and I thought, you know, if it's, if there's not much surface area, maybe it'll soak up more. And that ended up not soaking up nearly as much as I thought it would, if that makes sense.
It does.
So it ended up, there was kind of like, there were the soaked gummy bears, but then there was also this probably inch deep layer of sludge.
Yeah.
It was like gummy bear detritus and leftover vodka. And I thought maybe there were two things that could have gone wrong there. One thing was the surfaced area, and one thing was I mixed it with, like the recipe I saw called for mixing the vodka with lime juice. And I mixed it with, because I didn't have lime juice, I mixed it with grenadine. And so I thought, maybe the grenadine, like syrupy, maybe that messed with it. So I just did vodka and gummy bears, and I did it in an like a Tupperware with a wider base. And that just, so there's just one layer of gummy bears and one kind of layer of booze. And that ended up disintegrating the gummy bears to the point where, like, I could roll up the gummy bears in a layer of its own, like, gummy stuff. That didn't work out well either. None of this ended up appealing. The one recipe that I saw was, I've been watching a lot of this YouTube channel called Tipsy Bartender, and I like the dude. He's funny. He has on hot girls to make and drink his drinks and that kind of thing. So it's entertaining and appealing at the same time. and the way he did it was like a 2-pound bag of gummy bears and a whole bottle of vodka. And I just am not willing to commit that much to it, because if it turns out terrible, I'll have no one else to, you know, eat it, and that's just a waste of a lot of good gummy bears. So
it's also possible, did they do the thing where he made it and then they cut away and cut back and then they eat it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, he cut away, but that's because it's got to soak for a day.
Right. But my idea is it possible that he soaked them for a little while, and then before they start, you know, they let soak for a day, and then before they record, though, he may have, you know, pulled them out, made them look pretty, dumped the sludge at the bottom.
No, I doubt it.
Okay. All
right. I don't get that. I get the sense that when – that's one of the things that I like about this show, with this guy's videos, is that he makes the drinks – and he makes these recipes and these ridiculous things because he wants to give them an honest review. And so, like, if this doesn't work, he's going to call you. Like, there have been drinks that he's made, and the girls have drank them, and they're like, this is nasty. This is the most disgusting thing I've ever had. So, you know, he's not afraid to, like, cut these things out to try and make everything look good. So gotcha. If it hadn't worked, I think he would have said something. But I think when you have that much booze and that many gummy bears, that probably changes the chemistry a bit somehow. And so I don't think it's as bad as, I don't know. I think once you get to that size, it probably could be all right. But my experience was just like, I don't really want to, the potential gain is not worth the investment.
Right.
So now I'm trying, booze-soaked watermelon. I currently have a small watermelon with a bottle of citrus vodka jammed into the top of it. Within a couple of days, hopefully it will have absorbed. Hopefully the bottle will be empty, and I will just be able to get drunk off of eating watermelon, which I think will be another fantastic, if that works, will be a great addition to, you know, Sausage Fest.
I don't
know how it works in Missouri, and I have no idea when watermelon stops being sold even here.
I think that's going to be the problem.
Yeah, I do fear that. But if we can get a hold of watermelon, even if it's kind of a crappy, you know, end of the season, nobody would ever buy a watermelon for serious kind of thing. Because, I mean, we're just going to end up soaking it in booze anyway.
Yeah, because I'm trying to remember myself when. Doesn't need to be
ripe and tasty.
I'm trying to remember when you kind of stop seeing watermelons, and you know they're definitely gone by the middle October. But this is the first week in October, so it may be possible that there might be some floating around.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think what I am doing is experimenting, and then I will report, and we will do what we can.
Well, it's good to have golds.
Yes, I'm also looking for like pink punches and shots and stuff that we can do so that, you know, the bottle cap shots are a hit, but I think we should expand our repertoire of cooler drinks that you just like pour out of the thing and give to people, because that would make our job when Art is too drunk and, you know, gone by the end of the night, would make our job a lot easier.
Isn't a Cosmo pink?
Maybe.
I think there's, you know, I don't think it's maybe the standard Cosmo. I'm pretty sure there's a pink Cosmopolitan out there. Mm-hmm.
It's worth looking.
Okay, I pulled up a picture of it. It is a reddish pink.
Well, there we go.
With a slice of, it's got either a slice of lime or orange stuck in it, depending on which of these pictures I look at. Oddly enough, I Google image searched this as we were talking. about every eighth picture is a picture of a Cosmo the drink. All the rest of them are covers from Cosmopolitan magazine.
This is not all that terribly surprising.
It's okay. So yeah, I mean, I think I honestly, off the top of my head, don't know what goes into a Cosmo, but I think that would be something you could definitely mix up ahead of time, much like the bottle cap shots, and just, you know, serve as needed.
I'm just thinking, you know, looks like it's vodka, triple sec, lime juice, and cranberry juice. That's pretty easy.
Yeah, you could mix that up ahead of time. I'd say
we need some ways to lessen Art's heart attack pace. Like, dude works hard for us at Sausage Fest, so I'm trying to find ways to lessen the load for him a little bit. So
he does, and I kind of thought, I assume you're going for the pink drink because it then ties into the whole breast cancer awareness.
Yeah, of course.
Gotcha. Okay. Well.
Anyway.
I've been doing nothing exciting at all, so whew, at least nothing I can talk about. So let's move on to how everything did. Rule one of the morality clause is you don't talk about the morality clause, Jonathan. You should know this.
Yeah, have you listened to this show?
You're not an intern. So
let's talk about how the morality clause is more entertaining if you talk about it.
It's more entertaining when you talk about the Sam. That's really rule number two.
That's true.
That's absolutely true. Which, congrats to him if he listens. It sounds like he's moving up in the world, according to his Twitter feed. So let's talk about how we did. I surprisingly did the best out of Jonathan and I, because Tony decided this week to use his first mulligan. So I don't know what the average score came out to, but regardless, between Jonathan and I picked up a 20. Jonathan?
Got an 18, unfortunately.
Yeah, things went poorly. It wasn't so bad. I looked at the Friday estimates, the Saturday estimates of Friday night. And I was like, that's like a 23. That's like a 23 or 22. It'll be okay.
It could change. There could be some movement. There was no movement.
Well, it got worse. When the actuals came back, I actually ended up doing worse than I did. So, I had lucky one as number one and think like a man at number two. So you can just go ahead and switch those two around. That cost me 3 points. The Hunger Games came in number three, right where I picked it. That I had correct. And then there's this stupid-ass movie about a chimpanzee, or chimpanzees, that came in number four, which surprised me. It brought in a surprising amount of money. The Three Stooges came in number five, which, you know, that wasn't bad. I had the Three Stooges as I clicked back to look where I had them. I had them number four, so that cost me another point. I had Cabin in the Woods number five. It was really number six. That cost me another point, and there we are at 20.
There you go. I don't even know what I have, so I'm going to have to, like, move.
That's fine.
Let's see. Look here. So yeah, I looks like I had the lucky one. And
oh,
one.
Jonathan! Oh, Jonathan!
Yeah, that didn't work.
No, I just clicked over and saw what you picked at number three.
Yeah,
but go on.
The
sorry,
lucky one at number one, that didn't work. So that's 2 points. The Hunger Games at number two, that didn't work. That's another point. Think Like a Man at number three, that didn't work. So that's 2 points. Chimpanzee, yeah, that didn't make my list because I put it number four, The Three Stooges, and at number five, Cabin in the Woods. And it really, I mean, in the long run, that was kind of intentional. That was very much the Chimpanzee was one of those movies, like, it could do really well or it could do really terribly. So those were 2 points I was kind of expecting could go right any way, one way or the other.
Well, you know, I thought,
Think
I
Like
thought
a Man, Think Like a Man. I did not expect that.
I mean, so two things for me, at least with Chimpanzee, I thought it could be number five. I really did not have any thought that it would do better than number five. I thought number five at best. I thought maybe that'd be a point, but you're right. Think Like a Man came out with $33.6 million, which is,
what the hell?
As I recall, that's even well above where, you know, Box Office Mojo, he had put it number one as well. But his estimate was, as I recall, well below 33 million.
25.
Yeah. Yeah. It was in the mid 20s. So it overperformed and it did very well. So congrats to Steve Harvey and the movie based on his book.
Let me just say really quick. I apologize, Tim. Somebody finally dittos me.
Oh, and you screwed him.
Yeah, and then it didn't work.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe none of you people should ever ditto me again.
Well, you know, don't feel too bad for Tim, because last week we started up a risk game with a funny book screw. I got to tell you, Tim's kind of anally raping me in that game right now. All of us, really. I mean,
have you resigned
it's not just
yet?
Me. Both Aaron and Paul. I mean, he's slow playing it. If he'd wanted to, and if he'd been more aggressive and come through, pushed down from Alaska, yeah, Tim, I know you're listening. He's got like 20 armies in Alaska that he's just been slowly growing a couple at a time. If he'd pushed hard North America, he could have ended the game by now. And I have to fight my way through either Aaron and or Paul to get to him. And he got control of Asia, which Paul and Aaron seem to be okay with letting him have. It's going badly. So Tim may have done poorly, only gotten an 18 this week. Don't worry, he's doing fine in risk. Sorry. So
that doesn't remind me. I haven't checked games by email in a while.
I think I have one game on where it's sitting with you, but you know I have so many risk games going on. Don't worry about
only
it.
Only one with me. You
yeah, but
big jerk.
Well, you know, you at one point it said you're getting tired of them. So
I don't recall this. I think this is a lie that you two have formulated to try and cover your asses when I say, what the hell, man?
I really don't think that's it.
I think that's it.
I don't think that's it. But hey, and if it makes you feel better, you're kicking my ass in Hero Academy again. So.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's expected.
that's just status quo.
That's just the way that goes, man. I mean,
I actually checked. I checked our game we have going on now, and we have the same number of people left in our decks. And I actually felt pretty good because usually by this point in the game, you've got a sizable point lead on me.
You can see that? How do you see that?
Hold on.
I want to know how this works. Mostly because I'm terrified of Luke because I've never played against the tribe before, and I have concerns.
Have you played against me playing the tribe?
Yeah, but I was playing the tribe at the same time, so
yeah,
that's a different kind of situation.
Yeah. Okay, so I can't get to it right this second, but what it is, so when you're looking at the field, mm-hmm. you know, you see our pictures are up in the corners, yeah. and the right and left are avatars.
Yeah.
Double tap on that avatar. See it? So
that's the number, but that's not the number of people you have. That's just the number of essentially cards
items.
In your deck.
both in your deck plus what's in your dugout. Ah. It's a combined number of what's in your you're right. It's not just units, it's stuff. Mm. Whatever it may be.
Interesting.
So, it kind of gives you an idea of how the battle of the war of attrition is going. And usually at this point of the game, you're
Luke
kicking my ass.
No more shamans left. That makes me happy.
How do you know that?
Because he has three shamans and I've killed them all.
Oh, so how do you know how many are in each one? Do you just know that off the top of your head, or is that listed?
When I double clicked on Luke's name,
yeah,
then it says Team the Tribe. I tapped on the little tribe symbol underneath that, and then it pulled up the information page.
Ooh, that gives me all that's good to know. See how we're helping each other and we're learning?
Look at that. That's handy.
When we combine our powers, we are much more effective than we are individually.
Let me take a look at you and see how I'm going to destroy you next. Let me see here.
Hey, I'm happy just to be breaking even, but let's move on. I'm sure, you know, people were probably through work stuff, and then I'm sure they were into the Sausage Fest talk. Once we moved into Hero Academy,
Hero Academy might have lost them.
We may have broken our audience's morale at that point.
That's true.
All right. So, and I'm not planning. So, FYI, I'm not planning on doing a lot of editing. So, I apologize to your listeners, but I'm not going to take the time to cut that out. Whereas in the old days, when we recorded on Wednesdays and I had Thursdays to edit, I would have. But,
hey,
so that's how we did.
Raw. This is our raw personalities. Continue to like us, because we don't really want you to leave.
Sausage Fest. Woo!
Moving on.
What you don't just say, you just say Sausage Fest and go, woo!
Exactly.
That's my move. Because usually Tony's here, and as soon as I mention, he's off talking for five minutes about it. So we have four movies coming out this week. I know about one of these movies, so... I don't know if this is really high class description, but the first one's called The 5-Year Engagement. It's a marriage comedy. It reunites Jason Segel and his Forgetting Sarah Marshall director Nick Stotler, which I'm pretty sure Tony and David Mitchell really enjoy Forgetting Sarah Marshall. So Segel and Emily Blunt play an engaged couple dealing with many trials and tribulations leading up to their wedding. And Judd Apatow will produce this Universal film. It is opening in 2,936 theaters. It's trading at $52 per share on HSX, and is the highest valued of the four movies that are coming out this weekend. That's all I got. You got anything to add to that, John?
I don't know anything about this movie.
Yeah. So I know slightly more about our next film, which is Pirates, Band of Misfits. Aardman Productions and Sony team up to make an animated adventure, Pirates. Adapted from Gideon Defoe's book series, the story centers on a group of pirates who compete for the Pirate of the Year award. Obviously, rated PG. It's opening up in 3,398 theaters, being the widest in terms of theater count release of the weekend. It's trading at $38 on HSX, and I think my son may enjoy it. It's directed by the same guy who did Chicken Run, Peter Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Stars the voice work of David Tennant, who I love from Doctor Who, Hugh Grant, who I love from Scandals, Jeremy Piven, who I love from PCU, Selma Hayek, who I love from Desperado, and Brendan Gleeson, who I don't know who that is.
Now, it's not really, I don't think it's really fair to say it's starring them, though.
It's they're the voice
talents.
I thought I said voice talent. I may
I
have
don't
misspoke.
Know. You might have said that, and I might have been taking my risk turn. But the main point is...
Selma Hayek?
Yeah, but so what? She's animated. You don't actually see her.
But I hear her voice, and it's kind of like Pavlovian. When I hear her voice, certain things pop into my mind.
That's an interesting turn of phrase you chose.
I thought it was quite well put, personally.
It was subtle.
Thank you. And you hear David Tennant's voice, and I think of Doctor Who, and I think of Jeremy Pittman's voice, and I imagine that little kid getting chased all over campus all weekend.
Yeah, but by nothing's popping for you, I take it.
Jeremy Piven's pretty sexy. I don't know. David Tennant, he's all right. So, man, I gotta stop doing those noises with my mouth on radio. Since I'm not editing them out,
I did The Way of the Game for a while, and yes. I now will keep my mouth kind of open when I'm recording, just to avoid the popping tongue noises. I don't know if I'm successful at it, but I do notice that now.
When I edited on a weekly basis, I got much better because I would hear myself do it and I'd be consciously thinking about it week to week. Mm-hmm. I have been away from editing long enough now that things have crept back into how I talk on air. And before, when you're conscious of it and you're thinking about it from week to week, it's in that you have that reinforcement. It's effective, and you can actually kind of work on getting those things out of there. But you start sliding back into bad habits as soon as you don't. In fact, today, my son and I decided that we should get on each other whenever we heard the other one say yep instead of yes. So I was surprised how quickly he took to this. I think he's excited about the chance to correct me on a regular basis, which is cool. I'm good with that because I want to get it out of my speech on a daily basis. So we made a pact today driving back from baseball that we would work on each other about not saying yep.
Well, there you go.
I know. So this third movie is the one I know the most about and the one I'm actually probably going to go see this weekend.
We're only on the third movie?
Sorry. We've got The Raven. A relativity film, I'd like to point out, and I'm picking first.
It's true.
It's rated R. It's opening in 2,203 theaters.
I will say I've noticed that nobody has actually placed their picks yet. I think everyone's waiting for you.
That's not a bad idea, especially since I like the idea of the movie. I like the concept. I like John Cusack, who stars in it. So the general concept of this movie is that John Cusack is playing Edgar Allan Poe. Basically, a copycat killer starts killing people in the way he describes in his book. So I assume it's Scotland Yard comes to him and brings him in on the case for his insights into what the killer may do next or what he may be thinking.
Why would it necessarily be Scotland Yard?
I just figure they're the law enforcement agency who would be investigating serial killers in London at that time.
But Edgar Allan Poe was an American author.
Yeah, but aren't they? I think they're happening. This blurb tells me nothing.
Detective.
Never mind then. So, the Baltimore Pete. I just thought someone. I don't know. I got nothing.
Okay.
I thought just someone checking. Had an English accent in the trailer. I guess I was wrong. So, yeah, I actually like the concept of this book. Of this book, oh my god!
He
of
was
this
killed
movie,
by an American election, for Christ's sake! I mean,
it's true. That's true.
Allegedly,
I like the concept of the story. I like John Cusack. I like Edgar Allan Poe's writings. People are going to die in horrible, horrible ways. So I'm excited. I know. Backseat box office listener Uriah, participant contestant. He's planning on going to see it this weekend. Unfortunately, I'm afraid that's going to lead me to value this movie higher than I should.
Probably.
Because it is probably a niche audience that's going to go out and see this.
Probably.
Anything you want to add on The Raven?
Nope. Don't know anything about that. I have done no research. So I am just here to drag down and lengthen a podcast that we wanted to keep short and simple.
And give picks.
Well, that too, but
yeah,
that was kind of assumed. The rest of my role on this show is kind of up in the air and always has been. So the talent this week is just trying to be detrimental.
I kind of think of you as the movie hipster on the group.
How can I possibly be the movie hipster of the group?
Because, you know, a lot of things you're interested in seeing are these small art house films. You love Shakespeare, the kind of the mainstream stuff. Well, you don't see any movies really in the theater, but
we bring up the say I liked it first because I probably still haven't seen it.
That's right.
Atlas Shrugged. Atlas Shrugged is on Netflix. Still haven't seen it.
Yeah. It's like you're so cool and so hip in the movies, you're like, you won't even watch them. That's how far out ahead of the crowd you are, is that you've already dismissed them and decided not to watch them, even though you might like them.
I guess so. All right. Well, that works too.
So finally we get safe. Actually,
grow a mustache?
No, goatee.
Well, shit, I already have that.
Oh, then you're good. Okay. Ooh, if you get a black beret, that would make everything perfect.
Have you seen the size of my head?
I'm not saying it would be easy. You may have to get on the internet, but I'm sure that's out there somewhere. I mean, what do you wear? Like a size 7 7/8?
More over an 8.
Wow.
I'm a triple XL. On my head.
I don't know what that is. Fitted hats, I know I'm a 7 5/8. Beyond that,
I'm like an 8 or potentially more.
Man, if we were in we should probably apologize to our our chat room listeners, our regular chat room listeners, Lena, William, BD, Jeff, whoever, Rich, Tim.
Because we can't have this conversation live with them right now.
Well, A, that, and B, we don't, at least I don't know how to use Ustream, so we haven't been putting this on Ustream and participating in the chat room while we've been doing it without Tony. So I know Lena last week tweeted me, he's like, hey, are you guys going to record? Because I've been hanging out for a while. No, sorry. We're not going to make it.
Can't.
Don't want to spend probably the couple hours it would take for me to A, get the stuff from Tony for the account, and then B, figure out how to actually make it work.
Yeah. We'll be back eventually.
Yeah, once Tony's back, we'll be back on Ustream and hang out with you guys. Because I was going to say, this would be a perfect point to be like, hey, what's your hat size, Chad? What's your hat size? And then put that in the show notes. All right, so Safe, the final movie coming out this weekend. Jason Statham, guess what? He's starring in a thriller, action thriller.
Shocker.
I know, right? It's so out of character.
He's such a quiet and reserved. You know, he usually does the art house films.
Yeah.
It's really gonna be interesting to see how he breaks out of that mold. Yeah. You know? Good to see that he's not allowing himself to be typecast.
Typecast? I mean, I like Jason Statham, but he is so hideously typecast at this point in his career.
He is. All he does is shoot guns and punch people in the face anymore.
And he does it well, but they all start to blur together after a while. They really do.
It's a little hard to... Yeah.
So in this one, he plays a former government agent who rescues a 12-year-old Chinese girl abducted... Or I think they're trying. She's trying to be abducted by the terrorists. Maybe she gets away, and then they're trying to get her back. But she's armed with a safe-cracking combination. The two are caught in the middle of a standoff between triads, the Russian mafia, and corrupt New York City politicians and police. The film is written and directed by Boaz Yonkin, like that name.
Is he also injected with a drug that requires that he? Never mind.
You know, I don't think he is, but I am going to guess that the pace this movie will move at, it'll be about the same. Yeah, because Crank, I watched Crank. That was ridiculous, but fun.
Crank was ridiculous, but fun.
Crank 2 came out. I was like, no, I'm not. On general principles, I cannot sit down and watch Crank 2. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I still kind of want to hunt that down and watch that just because it is so ridiculous.
The idea
it takes, I mean, the only way you can have Crank 2 is if you go just utterly gonzo. And from the trailer itself, you know they went utterly gonzo. So,
yes,
it's almost worth hunting down.
You know, if it was on Netflix and I was working on assembling models or painting or something, it would probably be worth having on the background. But it is ridiculous where they went with that franchise. Because Crank, all right, that's cool. That's pretty neat. You know, after a while, your body just depletes its stores of epinephrine and norepinephrine. I mean, it just runs out of them.
Hey, don't bring science into this. We don't want your medical facts.
Oh, pseudo medical at best. But I just hear people use fancy words and then try to repeat them. But that's it. That's so there's four movies. So honestly, I suspect there's going to be a wide range in picks out of our crew this week.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going to happen, and I'll be honest, I'm not even sure what the first two movies we talked about were anymore.
That's okay. I'm going to give you my picks, so okay. You don't have to go first. You can just kick back, enjoy a slice of watermelon.
I appreciate that.
So, actually, let me click back over to my total so I can quote them. Think Like a Man had $33.6 million last weekend.
Yeah, what the hell?
Even if it drops 50%, it's still going to be sitting around $18 million. The Lucky One opened at 22. If it drops 50%, it's going to be hanging around 11. Mm-hmm. I, from reading in the HSX share price being the greatest by a considerable margin, by about $20, I think number one's either going to be Think Like a Man or 5-Year Engagement. Mm-hmm. I've been kind of weighing them back and forth because Think Like a Man's probably the safer choice as it already has a well-established amount of money. And 5-Year Engagement, I'm kind of basing this off, God help me, Rotten Tomato scores and HSX. But it seems like 5-Year Engagement is the so-called experts think it's going to open up pretty strongly this week. So I think there's your one and two. Again, I went back and forth for some time. I think I'm going to stick Think Like a Man at number one. I'm going to keep it there. Take the safe pick. That bit me in the ass last weekend, but with Chimpanzee, but what the hell. And number two, I'm going to put five year Engagement. At number three, Pirates. You know, it's opening in the greatest number of theaters, 3,358. The Chimpanzee is the other kids' movie, but I think Pirates being an animated movie about pirates. I mean, honestly, I could have put this at number one or number two, too. Because the kid audience could come flocking out to see animated pirates. Because what young boy or even girl doesn't love pirates? Mm-hmm. I could see Tallulah taking the peen to go see this.
Mm-hmm. Plus, it's an Aardman film, so.
Yeah, it's an Aardman Sony production. It's, again, 3,300 theaters. I think the only thing I can point is that the HSX price and my lack of research is kind of turning me away from putting it higher than I am, which is at number three. At number four, I'm going to be real honest. I want to put The Raven at number four or number five. I don't think Safe's going to do very well. I'm probably not going to put that in my top five at all. The Hunger Games last weekend brought in $14 million, so let's say it drops 40%. That's going to put around $8 million. You would like to think John Cusack or Jason Statham could take their respective vehicles and climb above $8 million, don't you? Wouldn't you like to think they could do that?
I'd like to think.
I also like to remind myself that Relativity brought us Take Me Home Tonight. I believe debuted at 12, as I recall. 12 or 14. So I'm going to put The Lucky One number four. I think it is going to come in ahead of both of the other two new movies. So Lucky One number four. At number five, man, I want to put The Raven there, but I don't want to get Dylan dogged and or Take Me Home Tonight again. Jason Statham, I mean, I like to think he can bring in money. What was the last thing he did?
I don't know.
Okay, well done.
Why do you ask me these questions?
Killer Elite was the last thing. Well, that did bad. Let's see. Transporter 3. Crank High Voltage brought in all of $7
million. Romeo and Juliet.
He was just a voice in that one.
Hey, so is hey. Salma Hayek.
Was she in Romeo and Juliet?
No, but she's only a voice in Pirates.
Yeah,
you find that significant. So I'm just saying, there's a correlation. All right.
So Killer Elite opened at $9.3 million. Transporter 3 opened up at $12 million, and of course, Transporter 3 is the end of a well-established franchise, and it could only bring in $12 million.
Crank Killer was Elite only seven. Crank 2.
I mean, I'd like to say the Raven and or Safe could be number five, but I just don't feel confident in either of them to put them at number five. So I will be a wuss and put the Hunger Games at number five.
Yeah.
So that's it. Sorry. Over to you, big guy. No, it's good. It's it's your turn.
Oh. Well, here's the deal. I think Think Like a Man's going to drop a bit harder than I don't know. I think that one's going to, especially with another romantic comedy coming out, I think we're going to see that one drop pretty hard. So I'm going to disagree with you on your one and two.
That's fair.
I'm going to put The 5-Year Engagement at number one and Think Like a Man at number two. I think the Pirates, yeah, I definitely think the Pirates is going to beat out Chimpanzees. If for no other reason than it's pretty positive you're not going to see, you know, one pirate brutally murder and eat another pirate.
Does that happen in Chimpanzees?
Well, apparently, it's a documentary. Chimps are meat eaters.
Yeah, but it actually happened in the movie.
That's,
I know it could happen in the wild.
I understand that it happens.
Wow.
So, you know, there's something to be said. There is something to be said for showing nature as it truly is. But at the same time, sometimes you don't really want to have to deal with, mommy, why did, you know, that chimp just rip off that other chimp's head? I don't actually
I'll be
know
honest.
If that happens, but...
However the murder happens, it can't, then the eating of the corpse, it doesn't really matter. I think that's inconsequential to the discussion. I'm just glad I did not take my son to see this over the weekend.
Yeah, so from what I understand from the reviews I have seen, there is some chimp eating. So there you go. But I don't know how exactly that happens and how they handle it. I'm not sure. So clearly it wasn't so terrible that it couldn't pull in, you know, over $10 million. However, I don't think it's going to hold on to that. And so I do think that the Pirates will probably pull in number three. I can see that. I don't know about the Lucky One and the Hunger Games. The Hunger Games seems to be losing. The amount that it's dropping every week seems to be dropping, if that makes sense. The tail seems to be, you know, leveling
out. Slowing
down.
Yeah, it's slowing down a little bit, yeah.
So I don't know. It could be that it's been out so long that nobody goes to see it anymore. Could be that it continues to keep its level, you know, kind of level drop. So, oh. And the Raven could pull... Relativity hasn't been all that terrible as far as, you know, like they've had to start out. They had some really bad swings and you didn't even put it on your list. So part of me is tempted to put that at like number one, but I don't know. I really don't know. I need to look at something here. This is live research, peeps. Live research.
This is a look at how the magic happens.
This is how the sausage is made.
I like my analogy better.
Yeah, I don't care.
Again, this is also a peek into the inner workings of the show. I say something. Jonathan's response: I don't care.
Bully for you, sir.
I mean, not in a mean way or anything. Just, you know, just very matter of fact. Just a statement of fact, really.
There is reality. We need not hide from it. So, yeah, the dailies don't actually do anything for me, do they? I should have known they wouldn't do anything for me. That they would be entirely and 100% useless to me. So... Let's go with the lucky one at number four. And I think I'm going to give John Cusack and Edgar Allan Poe the benefit of the doubt and put it at number five. The Raven at number five.
Very nice. I like those picks.
I think I'm going to regret it. But
one of us will.
I don't think I'm going to regret it as badly as, I don't know. Anyway.
All right. Hey, do you know what comes out next weekend?
No.
The Avengers. Ah, can't wait. I tell you what, I've got blue balls over the size of next weekend.
I probably won't see that.
That's fine. You're a hipster movie. You're a movie hipster and it's hugely popular. I wouldn't expect you to.
I liked The Avengers before it was popular.
You liked it, but you liked it around issue, you know, the zero issue. And then after that, you kind of just fell off.
Yeah, everybody jumped on the bandwagon. And I was like, I'm out of here. I liked it before they knew Chris Hemsworth was in it.
Chris Hemsworth. Oh, I'm so excited.
They just drugged the property down.
Chris Evans. Pretty sure that's the guy. That's Johnny Storm's name, right? The guy who's playing Captain America. It's pretty sure it's Chris Evans. He's another Chris because there's Chris Hemsworth and then him. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Chris Evans.
Chris Evans is right.
Yeah.
There is. You know what's coming out the week after that?
Dark Shadows?
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Did you watch Dark Shadows back in the day?
Nobody would care.
Did you?
No.
Oh. Uriah mentioned he'd never seen it. It was a TV show. Dark Shadows started out in black and white. I caught this years ago when sci-fi was running in syndication back when I was in college. It really comes off as kind of a supernatural soap opera.
It looks like...
No, this is the TV show. The movie, it looks like in the movie they're doing what 21 Jump Street did with their movie. It looks like they're moving far away from the original property with the movie than they did, much like they did in 21 Jump Street.
I'm just looking at it and thinking Munsters, Adams, like.
You see, the original show really wasn't comedic at all. It was so, you laugh sometimes, but that's because it was so overdone or bad. Yeah. Or, you know, it wasn't really meant as a comedy, much like 21 Jump Street was not really in any way meant as a comedy.
Are Johnny Depp and Tim Burton the same person?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes. I've seen pictures.
Those can be photoshopped.
It's true, but these were back in the days with Edward Scissorhands, really before they had much in the way of Photoshop.
This isn't helping your case.
What is my case exactly?
I don't know.
Fair enough. So until next week, we will see you in the back seat.
I am so glad you ended this.
Bye. Oh, sweet Jesus. I don't know what this world's coming to.